Well, I told the Sunday school class I'll get my first amen here. The message won't be long. So, and as we go in, even the title of the message is not going to be long. It's just choose. All right? And it's just like each of you today, you made a choice to be here, didn't you? And you could have been a lot of other places, but you chose to be here. And even earlier in the week, Brother Robert asked me if I was still going to be okay about bringing the message today. And I had to make that choice, didn't I? And understanding, it was easier to make it because I know my dad would want me to be here to do this. So that made that choice just a little bit easier. So we have choices every day, don't we? Some of them are big and some of them are small. So how do you make the choices? How do you decide? And the first thing is we have to do is decide who we are, or better than that, whose we are. And once you make that decision, that makes a lot of other decisions for you, doesn't it? There's certain predeterminations that have to be made within that to understand that when you are called to make a decision, does that fit within whose I am? You know, if I'm God's, then certain decisions have to be predetermined from that very decision, doesn't it? That choice that you made. So to live out, to understand what that looks like. So I can give you a for instance in one decision making a lot of other decisions for you. Let's just say you decided you were going to be a vegetarian. Not that any of you might do that. I've done it before in my life, and some of you may have. But with that one decision, a lot of other decisions are made, aren't you? You can go somewhere and say, hey, you want a hamburger? No, I can't. I'm a vegetarian, you know. And there's certain things that a vegetarian does, and for certain things a vegetarian doesn't do, don't they? You don't eat meat, and you eat vegetables. So those things are predetermined by one decision that you've made. And, you know, if I would say I am a runner, there's one thing I have to do, isn't it? You got to run, don't you? A runner runs, don't they? So these decisions that you make and these things that you say you are predetermines other decisions that you will make. And we can see how some decisions makes it easier for you to make other decisions. And if you're going to live up to those choices that you made, certain things had to be done. And the scripture today is in Joshua 24. And it's just verse 14 and 15 that I'm going to read out of Joshua today for you. But I know most of you are going to know this. And the kids, I know, are going to know the 15 for sure, right? I seen it on the board back there. And then I seen that there's a wall plaque with this on it back there. So I don't know if that's what caught my eye to get me to thinking of this, or God put it out there so I can see it. But he's been talking to me about this. And it says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eye to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in which land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that ending part there is, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Knowing who Joshua was, he was sincere in what he just said, wasn't he? He was going to serve the Lord, because he's later on in life here. I mean, he's coming to the end of his life, and he had served the Lord his whole life, isn't he? Knowing that Joshua was one of the 12 spies that went into the promised land, wasn't he? Before they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and only one of two out of the 12 that came back with a good report, wasn't he? That said they could take the land. They had believed in God. They'd seen all the stuff that God had done before and knew that he would do what he said he would do and that they could take the land. Of course, the other 10 came back and said, oh no, these are giants and we're just grasshoppers in their sight and there is no way that we can take this land. Now, after seeing all that God had done previously to that, how they could say that they thought that God couldn't deliver this land to them is amazing to us. To understand now Joshua has gone through this and they're in the promised land and now he's seeing some people that are strange to foreign gods and going back to worshiping gods of the Egyptians and the Amorites and different ones. And if you are whose you say you are, you're going to have to choose today because God doesn't want you wavering back and forth on who you're going to serve. He's a jealous God, isn't he? We looked in Hosea today, was talking about he had Hosea marry a woman that was more or less, better word, no other word he would say, than a prostitute. So Hosea could understand exactly how God felt about someone not being faithful to them. Just, you know, Hosea understood how God felt about the nation being unfaithful to him and having other gods before him. So, choose who you will serve, and once you decide that, that will help you make all kinds of other decisions, doesn't it? Just like as we were talking about the vegetarian. That makes a bunch of choices. Even more does this clarify choices that you make in your life. And sometimes there seem to be choices that are a lot harder than others, don't they? Understanding when you say, I'm going to do this, most of the time that means you're not going to do this, right? So there's something that's going to be sacrificed there one way or another. And to understand the choices that you make are very important. And they say a lot about who you are and whose you are. So it's important. And so this is probably the most important decision you'll ever make. Not probably. I'll take that part out. It is the most important decision you'll ever make. It is probably the only reason why you're here on earth at all. To make this one decision. What will you do with Jesus? And then understanding on top of that, neutral you can't be. You got to be one thing or the other. If you're not his, you're the world's. It's just that simple. I've said it 100 different times. Dad always told me that there's only two ways. God's way and the devil's way. And I always thought there was three ways. God's way, the devil's way, and my way. And it took me a while to figure out that my way and the devil's way is the same way, you know. That the devil don't care which way you go, just as long as you don't go God's way. And so, I did that for quite a while. But to understanding, decisions can cost you something, can't they? We will turn to Luke 14. You'll probably beat me there. And we'll look at verse 28 through 33. It said, for which of you decides to build a tower and does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goes out to encounter another king in war and will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is a great ways off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. There is a cost, isn't there? Decisions can carrying consequences, good or bad consequences, right? To decide to follow Jesus is going to cost you something, isn't it? And some more than others. It depends on how far out you were before you come to know the Lord. But you can lose all your friends, you know. You can lose relationships with family members. You can lose so much, but you gain so much more to understand, to have that relationship with Christ and what it means to have that relationship with Christ. And again, in that, counting that cost, making that decision predetermines a lot of things that you can do and you can't do, doesn't it? Jesus is telling you, you got to count the cost. And he names even, you go back behind this in Luke and talking about even, you know, hating your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, all these things in comparison to Christ, you know, if it comes to choice in between you or your father, or you and your mother, or you and a friend, if you're his, it's got to be him every time, you know. And you're going to have that cost in your life of making that one decision, that one choice. But we have to talk about the difference in between the here and now and the here and forever, right? And ever and ever. And so, but in that decision, there will be cost. And the world's driving the cost up all the time, aren't they? To what it's going to cost you is going to continuously be more and more all the time. We can see it in our culture today. People are being arrested just for standing up for the rights of the unborn. They're being arrested for that. A cost. You make a decision that you're God's. You've always got to stand up for the rights of life, don't you? For life, for the young and for the old. Because you let one thing go on and it becomes prevalent in America, and then they'll go to the other end. There'll be the euthanasia on the other end, you know. And where do you draw the line? It's a woman's choice today, but it'll be the government's choice later on, because we see that in China and other countries. It may have started out as a woman's choice, but it ended up being the government's choice. So you can't let it get started. So we have to make choices. The choices have consequences, and they have cost. But it makes it so good that certain decisions don't have to be made after you make this decision. They're already made. And we have to have those predeterminations in our life to understand how we'll live out our life with Christ. We have great examples. Brother Robert's been bringing the messages out of Acts and the message is on the life of Paul. And my dad was an example to me all the time. And I fall short of his example all the time. But as he always felt that he fell so short of what Paul's life was. And you know, Paul felt like a worm beside Jesus Christ himself. But the call is to be like Jesus, isn't it? And we as Christians were 0% perfect, right? And 100% forgiven. I stole that off of Marquis, so I'm sorry. But it was so true, you know, that even though we are who we are, that he cared enough to pay that price for us. And that love alone should draw us to him, that it was such an awesome price that he paid for us that we could even make this decision, this choice that we can make today. And to have an opportunity to spend eternity with him in heaven. Yeah. And I'm so glad that my dad had made that decision, and my mom also, that they're with him today. And they're together today. So we also, in what we should look like when we come to know Him is that mercy and that grace that He showed us through that love He had for us should always show through us, shouldn't it? It should be that light that penetrates our life into other people's lives and make a difference. And so as you go and think of, because the Word of God is for us to examine in ourselves. It's like a mirror that we can hold up to ourselves and we can see ourselves in the light of that Word of God and to examine ourselves and not, like he said, a man sees something on his face and just walk away as if he didn't see it. But to take, the Old Testament was the mirror to let the people know that they needed a Savior, right? And then Jesus was that way of cleansing yourself from what you've seen through that mirror that is not there anymore. God does not see that there anymore, and He doesn't hold it against you anymore. And in that salvation that frees us, then if He frees us, then we're free indeed, right? That's what the Word tells us. And indeed, we can make that decision, and we can live out that decision. But we can't be the vegetarian that doesn't eat vegetables. You know, we can't be the runner that doesn't run. If you say you are His, then you're going to look a certain way. And in that, that's for me as much as it is for anybody to say that I'm His and not give the visible signs that I'm His, that the world would know. So, I told you it was going to be short. But that's what He laid on my heart. For me, really, I'm just sharing it with you, what He's asking me to do, to examine my life and to make a choice to choose today who He will serve. And I'm going to tell you, I choose to serve the Lord. Me and my house choose to serve the Lord. And I hope you do also. So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dearly Father, we're so thankful that You allow us to have that choice, Lord. And that our loved ones that come before us have had that choice. And many have made the correct choice and chose You, Lord. And we are so thankful there with You in glory today, Lord. And we pray that one day we'll be with them also. And knowing that You are our Savior, and we're going to be Your people, Lord. And we know that looks like something, and we wanted to show out in our lives that we're not just Yours in word, but indeed also, Lord. So we pray that You will forgive us in all the ways that we fall short and we're unfaithful to You, and that we sometimes choose the world instead of You, Lord, and we pray for Your forgiveness in that, Lord, and that we will not do that in the future, Lord, that we will stand up for You and Your Word. These things we pray in Jesus' name.